are listening to a live broadcast of Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday, May the 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. And normally we are talking to Pastor Wes Reimnitz over the phone. And guess what? Today, he's in the studio. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. It's a wonderful, great day. Isn't it beautiful out there?
I thought you had three accidents on the way in.
No, it was a construction zone and two accidents.
Oh, excuse me. Wonderful day, eh?
Hey, every day is a wonderful day.
Yes. Every time I get up in the morning, I'm surprised.
It's a beautiful May. It's wonderful. We're 5 months and 20 days out yet.
To Christmas?
To the 500th Reformation.
Oh, that's right. Yes, the 500th Reformation of the Reformation with Martin Luther. Yesterday, I gave what I consider to be one of the most helpful hours for me, where we made a distinction between the ingredients in the Bible and the meaning of the Bible. We had started off with giving a set of recipe items and trying to guess what the recipe was, and nobody can. And that was the point we were trying to make, is that it's one thing to learn all the ingredients in the Bible. It's quite another thing to understand them. And the thing I would want to talk about to begin with is the Emmaus Road experience, because the disciples have been told that Jesus had risen from the dead. So they believed he had risen from the dead, but they were still really confused, just as others were when they believed he had risen from the dead, like Peter and John when they got to the gravesite. And so the point I was making is not sufficient to know that he rose from the dead or that he was crucified. And it's interesting that when Jesus met with them, he didn't appear to them physically at first, did he?
No. In fact, the gospel text there from Luke 24 said that their eyes were prevented from recognizing him.
Yes. And why was that? Because Jesus wanted to bring them to faith by means of the word. As he said to Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And I think where their problem was, though they knew the ingredients of the events, that he had died on the cross, suffered, etc., they didn't know why.
Hmm.
And so when he went through the Old Testament, he was pointing to all the verses, I'm sure, where the necessity of the cross came about, all the way from Genesis 3:15 with Adam and Eve, Psalm 22, pierced in hands and feet, Isaiah 53, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And they began to understand the meaning of the crucifixion. So now it wasn't a darkened event.
And I think therein lies a very central point that you bringing to from yesterday. You can have the ingredients, but it's the instruction that goes with it.
Yes. And when I say the instruction, that's the teaching of Jesus to explain how you put the ingredients together. As I said yesterday, I would not have Sunday school teachers teach unless they visited with me ahead of time with the lessons, because every lesson points to Jesus. Adam and Eve and Job and Jonah and David and Solomon, they all point to Jesus. And until they figure out where is Jesus in the text, they're really not prepared to teach Sunday school children about the message.
Well, in fact, yesterday, I think you summed it up. You said the Bible is all about Jesus.
Well, that Luke 24 passage, doesn't he say he began with Moses and the prophets,
yep,
to tell about himself all the way through it?
Right. And then he does it with the 11 a little later on in Luke 24.
The Pharisees are a perfect example, the unbelieving ones, how they knew all the ingredients of the Bible, but they crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah, and I you know, it's kind of interesting, too, because wouldn't they have been present at a few of those miracles that he did?
Yeah. Well, they knew he raised Lazarus from the dead, and they say it was a trick of Beelzebub.
Well, and then they sought to put Lazarus to death after that, because many people were coming to believe in Jesus.
Yes, exactly, because the word in the Old Testament talks about that, you know, when the Messiah is coming, the blind are going to see, the lame are going to walk, the deaf are going to hear, the mute are going to speak, and the dead are going to be raised.
That was his answer to John the Baptist.
Yeah, when his disciples came, are you the Christ, or are we still looking? Now, in light of yesterday, we did get an email from an individual who was thanking us for our ideas on law and gospel. And here's what she wrote. The ingredients and the directions properly used probably will result in a wonderful creation. Just looking at the creation, a product of my knowledge and understanding, might generate pride in me. However, for the creation to benefit me spiritually, I must consume it so that it nourishes my soul and generates energy to give glory to Him. Do you have any prayer or anything like that that would back up what she had to say?
Yeah, it kind of got shoved in Lutheran service book on the page 305, but in the old Lutheran hymnal, the 41 edition, at the end of page 5, when we did that liturgy out of there, you had the collect for the word. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by thy patience and comfort, thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life that thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. So,
well, the important points is that the Lord caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. You know, and I'm talking about learning are the directions. And then you made note of that we would not only just hear, read, mark, learn, but inwardly digest them so that the meaning of those various ingredients would come through and we would have comfort of the Holy Word and embrace and hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. See, that's what those two disciples on the road to Emmaus hadn't yet come to an understanding of.
Right. And, you know, the other thing that came to mind as I read that was Colossians chapter 3, because there it talks about the new life of the Christian from baptism. And I found that to be quite helpful in taking a look at that. Set your mind on the things above, not on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. And it goes on to talk about what we laid aside, the new person that's chosen of God. And when the person talks about that new creation coming out with the ingredients and the instruction, Paul puts it this way: put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Who's ever got a complaint against each other and forgave, and that you forgive one another as you have been forgiven.
Yes. In other words, what the scriptures are not just a collection of events, miracles, parables, etc., but they're a teaching of Christianity that results in what you were saying, namely a life of sanctification, that you are able to put aside a complaint against you, bearing with one another, because now you understand that's what Jesus did for you.
You know, I especially like that verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. You know, there's an alternate translation that you could put to that from the Greek.
Oh.
Referee. Everybody understands what a referee does.
So how would it be?
Let the word of Christ richly referee within you.
Yes.
Within your heart.
And what follows is important because it's on the basis of wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness.
And do all in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. And so then he can go to any other part of our life, like marriage. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Husband, love your wives. And so our relationships come out of the ingredients of the Bible, but only if it's taught properly how it works. Look at the Pharisees. They could divorce a wife for any reason. So they weren't, they had the ingredients, they had them memorized, but they had no knowledge of how they fit together.
And I think one of the examples that, you know, when I listened to your broadcast yesterday, one of the examples that clearly came to mind was Timothy.
Explain that.
Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And just before that, Paul says, you have learned and convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood. In other words, he had a family that was teaching him about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And that's really important, that it's not enough to baptize the child. Remember, we always say we need to bring the child up in the nurture and
admonition of the
yes.
Lord. Yeah.
And so that's the part that I'm trying to get across. For example, there are folks who may teach confirmation and spend an awful lot of time in just doing the memory work.
That's right. I think you made an excellent point when you were talking about your confirmants yesterday, mm-hmm. how they centered on Jesus Christ. And it takes the church. It takes the families bringing them to church. It takes the pastor
right.
teaching them. You know, there's a wide range of things that are going on there.
I just did a partial in the sermon last Sunday. I'm going to continue with this Sunday and expand on these thoughts in other ways, because there's just so much to say. Once you recognize that, first of all, you cannot make a meal if you use the wrong ingredients.
Yeah.
So they need to know the ingredients. They need to have memorized the catechism and the Bible verses. But the task of the pastor is to have them then understand how that all fits together.
I think that was an excellent point that you brought out, that a lot of the memory, you know, I've done that, and I've watched that change over the last 30-some years, where memory work is left to the parents to take care of, while you spend that time explaining what they've just memorized and what's going on.
Yes, with our parochial school kids, we have the luxury of having very good parochial school teachers. Mm-hmm. And so they spend time in having them memorize things, verses, the catechism, etc. And that's where the work of the pastor then can really take off in the class itself.
Excellent, excellent. You know, another, if we're done with Timothy.
Oh, we're never done with Timothy. But let's go on to somebody else.
Another one that I thought of, which is, I think is very classic, is the three men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Because when you first read in chapter 1 of Daniel, he asks to take care of the kids. And in other words, you know, switch them off of the rich food onto vegetables and things like that. But in it is teaching them God's word and the promises, and how Daniel wanted to remain faithful. And you see the culmination of that in Daniel 3 when they meet Nebuchadnezzar on the plains of Dura with the idol that's out there, and they're
right.
told to worship, and they go, no.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. And I think what's important in that part that you had just talked about, that it says that Daniel was able to teach them. And in verse 17, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Now, we have to understand that a pastor can work as hard as he wants, but if the Holy Spirit isn't doing the work, then nothing's happening.
Faith comes from hearing, and hearing that word of Christ. It takes that. We are the messengers, as we often hear, messenger of good news from KFUO.
We're faithful, not in getting a lot of people to understand, but in keeping to the word of God and administering the sacraments rightly. Then the Holy Spirit takes off from there.
Yeah, our power, our message begins and ends with the word.
We've had four baptisms in the last 3 weeks at Trinity Orchard Farm, and I keep making the point that I'm not doing the baptisms. God may be using my hands, he may be using my voice, he may be using the water, but he's the one who's adopting the children into his family.
We say that Sunday morning when we do confession of sins and absolution. In the absolution, we say we as pastors stand in the stead of Christ.
Yes.
It's Jesus who forgives the sins.
When I was a kid, I thought it meant, and instead of Christ, instead we of Christ. Do it. But stead means in the place of. Yeah, for sure. So that fiery furnace, that's a pretty good one. Do you have any others?
Well, yes, I do, but get to the answer that they give Nebuchadnezzar there down in verse 17.
Yeah.
I think it's so classic. If it be so, our God, whom we are able to we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship him, the golden image that you have set up. In other words, they made no deals with God. They took him at his word.
Yes, and I remember the first time I read that, I was surprised that they said that he could deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, because I was trying to think of any other time that had ever occurred.
I don't
think so.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. It's kind of like Abraham told you're going to have a baby, and nobody that old had ever had a baby before. But he believed it, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And notice what he believes. He believes in the ingredient that he's going to have a child. But the only reason he believes it is because he's believing the promise.
Promise, yes. Back to the promise. And I would say that's the same thing that you see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They believe the promise.
That he's going to take care of us, whether we die or not. It doesn't really matter.
Paul said it in Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yes. Yeah, we're having three kind of funerals in St. Charles just recently. Two of them. One is a woman who is coming to our Bible class whose daughter just died. Another one is a member her son just died, and the funeral is tomorrow at Emmanuel St. Charles, 12:30. And then a member whose daughter just died. But then they also had the funeral. Remember the Laclede gas station gentleman who was murdered with his partner? They had that funeral also this past week. So, and then there's been flooding in the St. Charles area. How was it up in Springfield?
The river's kind of flooded, but we're not near what you gone through down here.
Yeah. Yeah, I have yet to find a family who actually had part of their house flooded. It just was getting really close. And if any of the levee had broken at a certain area, there would have been fields underwater, and a lot of homes.
Isn't that a praiseworthy prayer?
Yes.
Prayers of thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was talking to a shut-in, and she said her grandmother always would prefer to have a drought than a flood.
Oh, really?
And can you understand why?
No, I prefer it the other way.
She said, with a flood, there is a lot of cleanup you have to do.
Yeah.
Remember, the fields are filled now with sand instead of good earth. And boy, whereas a drought, there's no cleanup.
Yeah. Well, I would say I'd back it up. I wouldn't want to see a flood, but I don't mind the rain. After seeing the drought to here back right around 10 and 11, I welcome the rains, but maybe not as much as we're getting.
No. It reminds me of a pastor who once prayed for rain. How did that story go?
Let it rain on those that have seeded and those that are still putting the crop in. Let it be dry.
Yes.
You know, there's a follow-up to that story.
Oh, no. Tell me.
One of the members walked out the next week and said, you know, Pastor, we saw it happen, and it can't happen with weather, that it'll stop at one block and start up again. And they said, it didn't rain on his field, but it rained on ours where it happened. I go, whatever the Lord decides.
Yes, I know. I mean, there really are possibility of miracles like that. But what would you have said if the rain came on the unseeded field and no rain on the seeded field?
God chose for it to happen that way, you know. But it was a wonderful thing, because we spent probably the last part of that summer, from the spring into summer, talking about prayers, what kind of prayers that we should have, the kind of ingredients that we put in there, and the kind of instructions as to what we talk about. So it led to some very fruitful discussion.
Yeah, I know one of the passages, and you've talked about it a little bit, Luke 24, where Jesus goes through the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms about himself. But I think verse 45 could be a motto of this analogy of ingredients and then getting to the meaning. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Yeah, the instructions. There you talk
That's
about
right.
the whole instructions there. What was the illustration? You had a 5-page instruction on how to make the ingredients?
Yeah, of Crispy Donuts.
I bought a new software, you know, where you speak into the computer.
Yes, yeah, Dragon.
300-page instruction manual.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the new one, you don't need it. Like, I have one of the original ones where you have to talk into it for about a half an hour so it gets used to your voice. But the new ones, that doesn't have to happen.
Well, I got it at a bargain-based price.
Oh, well, that's probably one of the old ones. But
nonetheless, the instructions are there
How
to use it. And there it is in Matthew 24, he opened their minds.
Luke 24.
Luke 24, yes. So he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That instruction that goes on in our Bible classes, the instruction that goes on in our sermons,
that presupposes that people can know the scriptures but not understand them.
Mm.
I've said for a long time, it's really difficult to understand the scriptures.
It goes on to say that you shall be my witnesses of these things.
That's right. And remember what the scriptures are all about, that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name.
Yes.
That's why I was really happy with the confirmands in my class when I asked them, how would you answer the question, I am a Christian because? And they gave very few ingredients. They went always to the forgiveness of sins in
right
heaven.
Right to the cross, yep.
Yeah, that's true saving faith versus what we call historical faith. Preaching this Sunday?
I'm getting ready to preach on the 21st. It's called The Ditch, The Road, and Follow Christ.
The name of the congregation is The Ditch?
No, that's the name of the sermon.
Oh, I'm sorry. And what congregation?
That'll be St. Paul Lutheran Church, Manitou, Illinois. Services are at 9 o'clock. 21st, we install the new pastor.
Oh, wow.
Matthew Barrett. We're looking forward to it.
Yes. So it took them a little while to call him?
Man, it took twice. They broke my record. I always used to be able to get it done on the first.
Yeah. You know?
But this time it took two.
Two different people?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know one pastor, he was called three times by the same congregation before he accepted.
Wow.
Same guy. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting, and there's a lot of that going around today. So we appreciate Pastor Wes Reimnes is actually in the studio with us today.
It's great.
Because he only comes because he knows we're going to be going to Shake and Steak, or is it Steak and Shake?
Well, don't tell my wife. I'm supposed to be on a diet, you know.
No, we're going to a very healthy place. Yes.
Okay.
Well, fortunately, your wife never listens to these programs. So
yeah, she caught part of you yesterday.
Oh, did she? Okay. Yes. Well, thanks so much for coming, and we'll be talking to you again next week, probably by phone.
It's great to be here. It's always wonderful to come down and visit and especially be on the air and talk about the good news of Jesus.
So, and I'm going to be preaching at Trinity Orchard Farm, 8 o'clock and 10:30, continuation of last week's sermon with that analogy of ingredients to make a recipe. And tonight, we've got a Bible study on the Lord's Prayer at 7 p.m., a Trinity Lutheran Church, Orchard Farm, out there on Highway 94, about, 5 minutes from the 370 expressway. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow's going to be Open Mic Friday. You can email me at longgospel at longgospel101.com. If you have a question, we already have an email we're going to be responding to. Till tomorrow, then, God bless. We'll be right back.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.